Saints. Those Saints signed free agent wide receiver Brandon Marshall today. I'm Dan Beyer. We are
Bullseye on weather on AM 930. Light snow overnight and then again early Tuesday. Our low tonight, 27. Tuesday's high, 35.
High down, cloudy, 39.
You're listening to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.
Minutes after 5 o'clock, Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Entering our final hour for today. Don't forget Buckeye Roundtable coming your way when we wrap up at 6 o'clock tonight. Veterans Day being observed all over this great country of ours. The Lorain County Veterans Service Commission reminds you to fly the flag to celebrate and honor those who have served. Lorain County Veterans Services, dedicated to building better lives for the veterans of Lorain County. Having some fun here on a Monday. Got a nice little debate there about Christmas with the Cranks.
We did.
In our last segment. That was a heck of a lot of fun. A guy that may know a thing or two about Christmas with the Cranks and many other great Christmas movies, which you'll probably see playing 75,000 times over the course of the next 2 months.
Bring him on.
Our Hollywood insider, Michael Warshauer, joining us now on the hotline. Michael, how are you, my friend?
Doing well. Good to talk to you guys again.
Well, it's great to have you on with us. Of course, over the weekend, People's Choice Awards. Nicki Minaj had some colorful comments to make, especially about Michael B. Jordan. Outside of that, what were your major takeaways from the People's Choice Awards this weekend?
Yeah, there were a couple of surprises. I thought Black Panther was one of the biggest movies of the year and didn't really take home a lot of the big movie awards, although Chadwick Boseman did take home one, but it got beat out by The Avengers in several categories, which I thought was a little surprising, even though it is its Marvel partner there. But a couple of interesting wins where you have more fans voting than anything else. You have Jamie Dornan winning for 50 Shades Freed and Melissa McCarthy winning for Life of the Party, both a couple of box office flops, but obviously big star power from the two of them was able to bring them some awards there. But this is kind of a fun award show that is sort of a prelude to the very serious Oscar season. So it's kind of fun to see some more commercially successful, some big Hollywood blockbusters win some awards at this time of year.
Well, to bring it back to the box office, I want to get into the results of this weekend. The Grinch led the way. The numbers overall, though, sagged just a little bit. They were at least a little disappointing for this time of the year. And, I don't know how much different you can make a Grinch movie this time around. It's been 18 years since they released the last one, directed by Ron Howard, of course, starring Jim Carrey. But, outside of the Grinch doing fairly well, it seemed like the expectations were a heck of a lot higher for some of these other movies. Any particular reason why you think everybody but the Grinch really kind of failed to meet expectations?
Well, I think The Grinch had sort of the advantage of, first of all, having that great name recognition and, all the adults who grew up with the original animated cartoon and then people that are a little bit younger than that who grew up on the Jim Carrey version. Like, there's an attraction to that, especially for families. And they had a really aggressive marketing campaign and just sort of got to be the first big holiday movie of the season. So they sort of had that advantage. But the biggest disappointment of the weekend was probably The Girl in the Spider's Web, the newest entry in the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series. And this movie did very poorly, even against kind of bad expectations. It was a case where you had a studio who had some really good success with the original Girl with the Dragon Tattoo American adaptation. But that was 7 years ago, and none of the original cast and crew returning. And instead of going back to the original book series, they went to one of the new books that was not written by the original author. So they really kind of bungled the entire reboot of the franchise there. And as a result, the movie just was not very well received, both by audiences and critics. So that was a pretty big flop, especially when you had such a vastly different movie in The Grinch. You kind of expected to get different audiences for both. Honestly, this kind of seems to me like a transitional weekend between the end of the fall box office and the start of the winter box office. We had a big surprising October, and things kind of have tapered out a little bit, but there's a couple of really big releases coming out. This week we have Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. Creed 2 is coming out soon. Ralph Breaks the Internet, as well as Widow. So there's a couple of big movies coming that I think are really going to give the box office a boost heading into Thanksgiving and then into the holiday season.
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to a couple, I believe, that will debut in December. Vice, I think, is going to be a pretty darn good one. Christian Bale's transformation looked awfully intriguing in the trailer that I saw. And, of course, the one that I've been looking forward to for about 5 years now, Holmes and Watson, with the best combination that we have in comedy today, I believe, and Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. One of the movies that was released, albeit softly, in just a few markets over the weekend, a Coen Brothers flick, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. I had heard about this a while ago, and then it kind of got lost for a while. Looks really interesting. What do you know about this movie?
Well, it's the newest one from the Coen brothers, the legendary directors, and it's a Western, which has been fertile ground for them in the past with No Country for Old Men and True Grit, both of which No Country won Oscars, and True Grit was nominated for several. So this is a genre they know very well. It's a film that's kind of an anthology. There are six parts to it, six different chapters that have very different stories. And it was originally conceived as a limited series, a limited anthology series for Netflix. And that's actually how they went into filming. Was they had these short stories that the two brothers had written over about 25 years, and they turned them into a screenplay for six different episodes. And as they were going, realized it worked better as a film that just had smaller portions. So that's what the final product is. And it's gotten really good reviews so far. It won the Best Screenplay Award at the Venice Film Festival and has been kind of talked about as just being another example of the Coen mastery of what they do. And it certainly has a really great cast. I mean, James Franco, Liam Neeson, Zoe Kazan, Tim Blake Nelson, Tom Waits, and the always fantastic Stephen Root. So it's something that will certainly be worth checking out. And the best part about it is that it'll be on Netflix. So you don't necessarily have to go out to the theater to check this one out.
Michael Warshaw, our Hollywood insider, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Want to dive into something maybe a little bit different that we normally talk about. USA Today had an article recently on the viewing habits of millennials and the change that has certainly taken place. You know, and after reading through this, there were some staggering numbers, and it shouldn't really come as a huge surprise to anyone based on all the other options available to those who are a little bit younger than I. You know, the fact that we grew up on the cable box, maybe the tail end of my generation benefited from satellite services and things of that nature, but this incoming generation knows that they've got a lot of options at their disposals, primarily streaming services and things of that nature. And looking at the numbers that were released in this USA Today article for the 4 weeks ending October 28th, looking at that age range 18 to 34, TV viewership plunged 15% and is down 36% from 2014. Michael, those are some pretty interesting numbers. What was your biggest takeaway from that article? Was there anything in there that was particularly alarming?
Well, you know, there has been this trend over the last several years that has been getting a lot more dramatic of people abandoning traditional broadcast television. And that's not just, you know, cutting the cord and canceling cable. It's everything. It's not watching as much network TV across the board. But at the same time, there's been a huge spike in that streaming, that watching what you want to watch whenever you want to watch it. And I think the number that surprised me most in that article was that two-thirds of American households have a subscription to Netflix, Hulu, and or Amazon. So a majority of people are starting to stream their entertainment. And as a result, the studios and the networks have responded by, in a lot of ways, embracing that. And, you know, one network that has had a ton of success and really has been very impressive has been the CW. Their core audience has always been teenagers, preteens, a much younger audience. And they have really embraced streaming and have had a lot of success for shows like The Flash. Riverdale has been a big smash hit for them. So what you're starting to see now and what will continue to be more of the case is that, you know, once Netflix put so much money into streaming and made such a big investment, the networks realized that they had to do that. So you see FX has been stepping up their streaming platform. HBO obviously has done huge things with HBO Go, HBO Now, and just Disney even having their streaming service. That's a big one. I think you're going to see a lot more investment in the coming years over trying to get programming that people can get through streaming platforms as opposed to network broadcasting, just because that's the way the market is going. Now that we're used to being able to sit down and watch 10 episodes of a TV show whenever we want, it's harder and harder to kind of stick to that old model of rolling them out once a week, of having a kind of strict schedule. So I think the numbers were a little more staggering than I expected, but it's certainly been a long-term trend that I think is accelerating at this point.
Am I wrong? Hasn't CBS sort of started something on that, too, as far as the networks go? Didn't they do a Star Trek series or something that streamed, and then they've got this new Fairy Tale one?
Yeah, they have CBS Everywhere, I think it's called, or All Access, that's what it is, CBS All Access. They have the new Star Trek show, which was actually pretty good. Tell Me a Story is the new anthology series they have going, and they also use that as the home for the sequel show to The Good Wife. So they have really put a lot of money into that network. And for a network like CBS that traditionally has an older viewing base, that's a big step forward and a big way to try and capture those millennial viewers who may not be tuning into the broadcast network nearly as much as they would streaming.
I'd imagine that opens things up for directors and actors, too, because the FCC can't control what you say or do on there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it gives a lot more creative freedom. It certainly is a huge boost to the film industry as a whole. This is sort of a golden moment for original programming. So I expect to see over the next couple of years, we've sort of had this like peak TV era where we've had these just huge TV shows. And I think that's going to kind of level out a little bit, and you'll end up having just more a lot of really good shows spread out amongst a wide array of networks as opposed to a couple of big monoliths like Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad was a few years ago. So that certainly seems to be, it seems like a big opportunity for creators for sure.
How much of a change do you think we're going to see when the ultimate shapeshifter releases its own streaming service a little bit later on in Disney? I know they've got plans to unload their own streaming service here, I think, within the next calendar year. How much do you think that could really shift things?
It could be a really huge shift. They have done a good job of, first of all, kind of tapering off the licensing they've been doing for their existing properties. Eventually, you're going to see most of the Marvel movies come off Netflix and go to the Disney streaming service. Same with Star Wars, same with all the classic Disney and Pixar films. And they've put hundreds of millions of dollars into a couple of new Star Wars TV shows. They're going to do a couple of Avengers spinoffs that star Tom Hiddleston's Loki character, and Elizabeth Olsen's character from Avengers is going to get her own show. So they're making a massive push into this area. Warner Brothers is exploring starting their own streaming service, but if Disney is successful, I think you're going to see a lot more of these studios or the corporations that own a collection of studios putting together their own streaming services as competitors to Netflix, and kind of letting Netflix be their own beast. So you'll see less and less of those old shows and old movies on Netflix and more just kind of original content on a wide array of streaming platforms. It could also, you know, not turn out too successful, but it's Disney. They kind of have the Midas touch, so I expect it to be a big hit.
Is there a fear from motion pictures that this might kind of be the new wave in theaters and things maybe kind of going aside?
You know, that's been kind of an ongoing question for a long time. And actually, movie attendance and ticket sales have been going up the last couple of years. So I don't know. I think that you will see probably shorter windows of films being in theaters. They'll probably move to streaming faster because it's so much easier to get more eyeballs after a certain period of time. But I think theaters are going to kind of stay consistent for the next several years. There's still, you know, so much that is different between watching a movie on the big screen and watching one on your TV in your living room. So I think they're still going to push, you know, live or big release movies over the next few years. But who knows? Maybe the Netflix model will continue to disrupt things and bring more and more movies directly to streaming instead.
See, I kind of agree with that, only because, as you mentioned, the numbers have actually gone up, which is odd because the price of a movie ticket has substantially gone up in recent years. But, you know, to the defense of movie theaters, a lot of them have done a much better job of enhancing the in-theater experience. By that, I mean a lot of these places now have full bars. They've got much, much better food and beverage options, and the seating has certainly taken a gigantic leap forward as well. So I think because they've taken those steps, I think you're right. I think that this certainly isn't going to alter the theater experience as much. All right, Michael, before we let you go, my friend, we need this week's Picks to Click.
Well, first, we already talked about The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, but so check that one out on Netflix. Also coming out is a new spinoff of Narcos, Narcos Mexico, starring the always fantastic Michael Peña and Diego Luna. So if you're a fan of drama about drug cartels, make sure you check it out. And last, it came out last week or maybe 2 weeks ago. But there's a new film on Netflix, The Other Side of the Wind. It is the last film that Orson Welles ever made. It has been unedited for the last 30, 40 years, and it's finally made its debut and is being heralded as a masterpiece. So check that out, and when you're done, watch the accompanying documentary called They'll Love Me When I'm Dead, both on Netflix.
Very, very good stuff. Well, Michael, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll do it again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you again. Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood insider, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Boy, a lot to take in there and a lot of interesting things, especially when it comes to the streaming services. You know, again, for you and I, we're kind of caught in the middle. We're in that generation where we realized how great the streaming services are, you know, how convenient they are. But we grew up in an era where you turned on the cable box and appointment viewing was a real thing. I mean, you either had to have the device to record a TV show or you just missed it until it aired again. But boy, this next incoming wave of kids, they're not really used to that. They're going to grow up in the era where streaming is the main event.
Well, we've gotten used to that too. I mean, I used to love buying the DVDs of seasons and stuff, and you can watch those whenever you want. Now we've got the same thing going on with the streaming, and you can just kind of go to whatever it is you have as a provider. And the problem is, now there's becoming so many, you almost have to kind of pick and choose. It was nice when it was just kind of Netflix. It really was just Netflix for a long time, and then Hulu got into the game, and then Amazon got into the game, and now Disney's getting into the game, and it seems like you're going to have like 15 different subscriptions when all is said and done. Now, if you have a lot of money, you can handle that, but if you don't, it becomes a little bit rough to see what you want to see, but it'll be interesting. I mean, you bring up Disney. They can do all kinds of things. They're nothing but money. So they want to produce these shows and stuff that Michael was talking about there. I mean, it sounds like they'll be really good quality.
Yeah, and again, they're expected to launch their streaming service within the year. So it could be really interesting to see how that changes. Okay, time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We've got 30 minutes left on this Monday edition here on AM 930 WEOL.
Get the hottest savings on both kitchen and laundry appliances from top brands including Whirlpool, Maytag, and Amana brands. The Stewart Appliance Black Friday sales event is going on now through November 28th, 2018. Take home these hot deals so you can take a load off on laundry and work smarter in the kitchen. Hurry to Stewart's TV and Appliance on Cleveland Street in Elyria before these hot deals are gone. Offers valid October 31st through November 28th, 2018. See store for full details and qualified models.
Meet Joe Tate.
I've been at Life Care twice. Both times, they helped me fight my way back home. It wasn't easy, but I came back.
Life Care Centers of America.
Visit Life Care Center of Westlake at 26520 Center Ridge Road.
Bullseye on weather on AM 930. Grab that babushka, Martha. Light snow overnight with a low near 27. More light snow Tuesday early. High of 35.
I'm Jim Chesko with Your Money Now. It was a sharp sell-off to begin the week on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrials